So the rabbi was explaining the receiving of the Torah was given that for the Olam, for the mountains over the Jewish people's head. And he told them that if you accept the Torah, fine. And if you don't accept the Torah, so God's going to take the mountain and he's going to he's going to drop it on them. Sham teke budatchem. So the rabbi explained it his way. His question was, you know, does the person give a gift by force? And you give a gift to somebody, you give it to him willingly. You don't give a person a gift and put a gun to his head. And he said, if you don't accept the gift, I'm going to kill you. So what is this? So the rabbi interpreted the way he interpreted. But there's the rabbi. There's a rabbi called Rav Chida. Rav Chida has a different interpretation of what the explanation was why God gave the Torah in such a way. The day that we received the Torah was the wedding day. That's the day we got married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Pasuk says, Yom Hatunato, Yom Simchat Libo. So the Gemara says, Yom Hatunato, on the day of the wedding, Zu Matan Torah. So it says, God was the Hatan, and the Jewish people were the bride, and the Sefer Torah was like the Ketubah, and the mountain was like the Chuppah. When a person gets married, you have to have a Chuppah. So the Chuppah was the mountain. Okay, so it's very nice, very, very romantic. You have a hatan, you have a kala, and it says you had flowers. Because it says all, Har Sinai was all green. That's why we have the custom on Shavuot, we put all flowers in the Bet Knesset. That's why...
Everybody put their phone on.
You turn on your cell phone. Please turn on your, take them off, vibrate, and put them on...
On music.
On the music.
Yes,
no, it doesn't bother me. That's why it doesn't bother me.
At least put a nice song.
No, it doesn't bother me. put it on. Don't shut it off. Put it on. So now what happens? So when they put the... when they put the mountain on top, so that's why we have flowers at weddings. Why'd they get the custom of flowers at weddings? You think it's a gimmick from the florist on Avenue J? He made a new gimmick? The ring is a gimmick. The wedding ring is a gimmick from De Beers. De Beers was selling diamonds. So when they wanted to sell diamonds, they made an item. They said, if you really love your wife, you'll buy her an engagement ring. You'll buy her a diamond engagement ring. So what they do, they created a new market to sell rings. And it hit. How many diamond rings were sold as a result of that gimmick? Forget millions. Because of that gimmick, they saved the diamond market. Okay, there's no source in the Torah for that. Mother's Day was made by Hallmark. Hallmark wanted to sell cards. So they're figuring out a gimmick how they can sell cards. So they made a hadush. Once a year, tell your mother how much you love her. Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, by the way, we have a card to tell you. And I said everybody was buying Mother's Day cards. So I'm not talking about gimmicks. But at the wedding that we make, we put flowers. You ever go to a wedding without flowers? Why? Because the original wedding was the wedding that God married the Jewish people at Matan Torah. And there was flowers. Because all the mountain was filled with greenery. So then the question is, so if it's such a beautiful wedding, so what does God mean then when he says that if you accept the Torah, fine. If not, I'm going to take this chuppah and I'm going to smash it on your head. So what are you talking about? What kind of wedding is that? Okay? You turned all the romance of this wedding into a...
coercion.
Yeah, it's coercion. So the Chida says an amazing thing. If a person gets married, as enduring as a marriage is, a marriage has a way out. And that's how the vort. The question the rabbis ask is when you open up the Talmud, there's a Gemara called Kiddushin. Kiddushin teaches you how to get married. What's the Gemara before Kiddushin?
Gittin.
No, Gittin.
You get divorced.
Gittin. So the rabbis ask, the Rambam asks in the Perusha Mishnah, why would it put Gittin before Kiddushin? Person first gets married and then Chas V'Shalom. In the sequence of life, Kiddushin comes before Gittin. Why would it put Gittin before Kiddushin? So he says, Magdim Refu'ah LeMakkah. What does he mean, Magdim Refu'ah LeMakkah? That he's giving the cure before the
medicine
before the disease. What does he mean by that? When a person goes into a business deal, so he hires lawyers, and he hires lawyers upon lawyers to draw up contracts. What's the main part of the contract? The exit. I don't need to tell me the deal. I know the deal. You're going to get 50%. I'm going to get 50%, and everything's up. But in the event that we need to dissolve the deal, now I need an exit strategy. Now, I will not go into a deal unless I know already my exit strategy. That if the deal doesn't work, how do I escape it? How do I get out? So the Chachamim are very smart. They said before a person is going to make a kiddushin, he's not going to want to make a kiddushin. Of course, he's going to say, what do you mean? I'm going into a deal over here, and if let's say the girl over here turns out to be a deadbeat, and let's say she turns into some marmi mavet, like Shlomo HaMelech said. Let's say she's bitter than death. Now what am I going to do? And let's say he has all sorts of problems that he didn't anticipate. I'll never get married. He says, no. First is Gittin. Gittin is the way to get out of it. Oh, there's a way to get out of it? So now he has Pat Besadol. He has a Gittin in his pocket. So therefore, he knows he has a trigger. So therefore, as long as he can escape this situation, so therefore he's willing to make the Kiddushin. Beautiful. And that's all marriages. However, there's one marriage that Torah says, Lo yuchal shalecha kol yamav. What the Torah says, you're not allowed to send this bride away forever. You're stuck with her forever. What's that case over there? The Torah says, if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, raped a girl, she's a young maiden, he comes along and goes with her by force. So the guy's not a good guy. What does the Torah say? He has to marry her, of course, if she wants. And you're going to say, why would she want? Very simple. Because in the olden days, even today, a lady doesn't have any support. A lady is aniya. She's poor. How's she going to live? Her father doesn't support her. All the money goes to the boys. Who supports the wife? The husband. Now, all of a sudden, this guy tainted her. Who's going to marry her? Who's going to marry a girl that's recycled? So now, nobody's going to want her. And what's going to end up happening? She's going to starve to death. She's going to die. So what is the Torah saying? It's genius. You raped her. Now you're stuck with her. You have to support her for the rest of your life. Now you have to marry her. And that's our benefit. Because now, with marriage, comes She'erah and Kesuta and all the benefits, at least the Torah says you will not have to worry. The one that tainted you has to pay for this avon for the rest of the life. You got it if she wants. Not only that, so the guy's a wise guy. The guy says, good, I'll marry her. I'd have Mikudesh Etli, and he'll support her for the first Sheva Berachot, the first week. After the first week, he'll say, what? That is a Gitech. So what did it cost him? Cost him a week's worth of fasulia, a week of jadra. What is the problem? So the Torah says, no. Be a wise guy. No, you're stuck with her. You have to live with her your whole life, and therefore the support has to be forever. So this guy does not have an option of gittin. So far, so good? Now let's go back. Bnei Yisrael got married to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we see there's a chuppah. We say, oh, beautiful. We see flowers. We see the ketubah. We see the angels, those like the marchers, the shishminim. We see all the beautiful, the birds were chirping in the beginning. That's the violins, the music. And then they stopped, and the Hassan came out, and the Kana came out. They said, fantastic. But then Bnei Yisrael got scared. They said, hold it. If God can marry us, then God can also divorce us. And Hazar Shalom, if God divorces us, then he can take another nation. So the Bnei Yisrael started to become scared that this could be a temporary marriage. And what's going to happen if it's a temporary marriage? That means if Am Yisrael makes Averot, Hazar Shalom. If Am Yisrael makes sins, Borei Olam will say, you're a Mored. Moredet. What's the law for a lady's moredet?
Then you're allowed to give her.
Right. A lady all of a sudden commits adultery, Chas v'Shalom. What's that like I say? Finish moredet, you throw her out. You throw her out. So now, Bnei Yisrael said to themselves, wow, now we're stuck. Mm-hmm. What are we stuck with? If we become mordin and poshim, what's going to happen? Borei Olam will give us a gift. So Borei Olam says, no, kafa alim halgigigit. He forced us. It was on him. It was under duress. Once already he forced us, now already, if Bnei Yisrael are going to make Averot, Borei Olam is going to say, Rezegitech. We're going to tell him, hey, lo yuchal shalecha kol yamav. When we got the Torah, you didn't give it to us willingly. You gave it to us by force. And therefore you're stuck with us. You have to follow the Torah. And therefore, since you have to follow the Torah, you have no options. You're gonna have to live with the situation. And this is a big chadush over here. This week is the Shabbat of Nahamu. So what does it say in the Haftarah? Nahamu, Nahamu, Ami, Yomar Elohim. The Navi says, Nahamu, Nahamu, Ami. Be consoled. So I once asked the question, what do you mean Nahamu, Nahamu? What changed? What changed? Did anything change from last week to this week? It's the same trouble. Which means, are we still in Galut?
Yes.
We have a Beit HaMikdash?
No.
No, it's about Nahamu. Ah, it's about Nahamu, it's a Beit HaMikdash. There's no Beit HaMikdash. So what does everybody say? Oh, it's about Nahamu, Baruch Hashem, everything's fine again. There's no difference between Shabbat Chazon and Shabbat Nahamu. The same troubles that we're suffering in Shabbat Chazon, we're suffering in Shabbat Nahamu. So what happened that we make the new Shabbat? Oh, because the Navi said Nahamu, Nahamu. Because the Navi said those two words, we said, okay, and everybody lives happily ever after. Everything is forgiven, everything is fine. And you understand? We once explained it like this. Why did God destroy the Beit HaMikdash? God destroyed the Beit HaMikdash because of the Averot. That means the Beit HaMikdash was a collateral for the sins of Bnei Yisrael. The rabbis give a mashal. When the Jewish people had the Beit HaMikdash, so every morning the Kohanim brought korbanot. They brought a korban in the morning, they brought a korban in the afternoon. And these korbanot were mechaper. So no matter what sins you did, the Beit HaMikdash absolved you. So it was a great item. You had an automatic cleaners that you had kohanim working all day for you in order to absolve you. So it was a great item. What ended up happening? The people got spoiled. That they said, you know, we don't have to be so observant. We have the
Kohanim.
We have the Beit HaMikdash. So as long as we have the Beit HaMikdash, we're covered. So the Beit HaMikdash turned out to become a liability to the Jewish people. Instead of the Beit HaMikdash being a source of inspiration to get closer to Hashem, they use it now as a license to be a little lenient and lackadaisical, because they always know. The Kohanim will handle it for us. We have, you understand? The rabbis give a mashal. Why did God have to destroy the Beit HaMikdash? There was one time a fellow, he was an artist. So what do the artists do? They're eccentric, the artists. So he goes all the way on top of a mountain on a cliff, it's quiet, and he has a view of the whole, a panoramic view of the whole world, and he takes his canvas, and he starts to draw, and he's drawing a picture of the, and he has his friend over there watching, and he's drawing, and they're making it. Finally, it's done. So the friend tells the artist, what do you think? Are you happy with what you did? He says, I'm happy, but I need a little perspective. So he takes three steps back to see if the, and he's looking at the painting, and he's mechaven on the painting. And he says, no, I don't have perspective yet. And he takes three steps back. So his friend says, hey, but be careful, you're almost off the cliff. You're going to fall off the cliff. And the guy isn't here because he's so focused on the picture. Now he takes two steps back. So the guy's saying, hey, this guy's going to fall off. One more step, the guy's going to fall. He's there, Picasso. You got to stop. Don't take any more. But the guy's mechaven on the painting. So what is the guy? He has no choice. All of a sudden, the fellow takes out a knife from his pocket and slashes the painting. And all of a sudden, the guy comes running back. He said, what did you do? He said, I had no option to take your mind off the painting in order to save your life. I had to destroy the painting.
Wow.
The same thing happened with the Jewish people. They're looking at the Beit HaMikdash. They're looking at the Beit HaMikdash. God says, hey, I'm over here. God's saying, make the Shubah. We don't hear God. We're looking at the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is going to handle it for us. God says, hey, you're falling off the cliff. And what are we looking? Beit HaMikdash, don't worry, we'll make Averot. And God says, hey, Rabotai, you forgot about me. Finally, in order to take our eyes off the Beit HaMikdash, God had to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. And what did he do after destroying the Beit HaMikdash? Borei Olam. What did you have to destroy it for? Because you forgot me. I had to take your eye off the ball. Your eye off the painting. You understand what I'm saying or no?
Refocus
that. Huh?
Refocus that.
Refocus that, exactly. You have to refocus that. So now what?
Wake up.
So wake up, exactly. So therefore, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of our Averot. It's a terrible destruction. God had to destroy his house. God had to destroy his land. The Shekhinah had to become exiled. It's a pain for Hashem. Shouldn't think we suffered. Our suffering is incomparable to the suffering of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah wants to dwell amongst us. So now we chase the Shekhinah in Galut, and the Shekhinah has to, go into places that doesn't want to be. You understand the suffering of the Shekhinah? It's like a child, let's say. A child, he becomes addicted to drugs, and now he finds himself in the slums. And he's with all the homeless, smelly people, and the guy's injecting himself, and the guy's doing all sorts of stuff like that. And his father's the chief rabbi. And they tell the rabbi, your son, we saw him in the slums over there making, injections of drugs and all the stuff over there. And the guy, he's really urinating on himself and he's, forgive me, and he's doing all these type of things. So the rabbi says, I got to go save my son. So all of a sudden the rabbi's going, he tells the taxi driver, take me to this place. No, rabbi, this is not for you, this place. This is not a nice place. I have to go there. No, there's nothing for you. There's no shi'urim. There's no nothing. Even the Chabad doesn't go to this place. You're going to go to this place over there? It's off limits. It's not kavod for the rav over there. This is low life people over there. There's the animals over there. It's not the... He said, I still have to go. They said, there's no reason why you have to go. He says, my son is over there. And now the rabbi has to go. Who has more pain? The kid doesn't even know what he's doing. The kid's sitting there. He's on drugs. The guy's numb. Who has all the tzar? Oh, no. The father. He's looking around. Look what my son brought me to. Look what my son brought me to. I was sitting in Gan Eden in the chief rabbinate, and now I have to go to the slum area over here to be with all these lowlifes over here. And they tell him, listen, the only way to cure your son, you have to stay here for 2 years and live with him over here. For 2 years. I was coming to pick him up. No, it does not work to pick him up. He needs to be rehabilitated. So now he has to leave his, he called his wife, tell them to sell everything, just send me a little mattress, I'll sleep on the floor with him, send me a little... So who's suffering over here? The father's suffering. It's the same thing in the Galut. The Shekhinah's suffering. So you know what we have thought? It's not the father. It's not the father. It's not the father and the son. That's the wrong mashal. It's not the right mashal about that. The mashal in this it's a husband and a wife. Understand? Where the wife now gets caught up in the bad culture, and then the husband has to go to the rehab place in order to help his wife. You know what the husband will tell his wife? Hegitech. Hegitech. I'm going to get involved with you over here. I got to live in this rehab place with you because you became a drug addict, because you became a miskina. I don't need this. When I signed up for the marriage, I didn't sign up I signed up for better, not for worse. I like the goyim say for better or for worse. They sketch it, for better or for worse. They don't mean for better or for worse. It means they kill us or for worse. So now what happens? Hegitech. You know how scary this was? At the time of the Beit HaMikdash, at the Churban Beit HaMikdash, we were scared that God's going to say, Hegitech. And if God would have said, Hegitech, it's over. So, what's the Nehama? What's the Nehama? So, explain like this. Nahamu, Nahamu. You know what the Nehama is? Ami, that you're still my nation. Zeh Nehama. Nehama zeh. שאחרי כל מה שעשיתם וכל הגלות שאני צריך ללך בגלל כן אתם נקראים עמי עדיין זה הנחמה הכי גדולה שלא אמר לנו הגיתך נחמו נחמו על מה ללחם עדיין אתם עמי וואו all this over which means the husband comes to the rehab and tells his wife I still love you I'm never going to leave you wow now nothing changed. She's still in rehab, she's still a drug addict, she's still suffering, but at least she got a consolation from her husband, that the husband said,
Amen.
I'm not going anywhere. So this is the greatest of all the nechamot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us, that even at the time of our delinquency, he still loved us. Now, I want to tell you, but I need a Chumash Bereshit. Do you have a Chumash Bereshit? In the meantime, we'll sing a pizmon. Jovi Chabot, sing a
pizmon. No. Yaakov Shweki.
Hold on. You're going to charge yourself. Okay. I'll talk about it. So now, we have over here an amazing story. If you look in the beginning over here in Parashat Vayishlach, how did you know the page? I don't even know the page.
Yeah,
I don't even know the page. How did you know the page and I don't even know what I'm looking for? What are you looking at? So it says over here like this, so it says Yaakov Abinu gets to the Ma'abar Yabok. He crosses over Ma'abar Yabok, the Verizano, the bridge. And then what happens? He sees this Satan over there. So the Satan is there. And the Satan takes Yaakov and he gets him into a wrestling match. And they start wrestling. Okay? Vayarki lo yachol lo, so he couldn't get Yaakov, he's too strong. So he hits him in the Yidash. Yeah, very good. Anyway, after they finish, Vayom Shadihini ki ala shahar. That's it, I gotta go. Time is up, I gotta go. I'm not leaving until you give me beracha. Okay. Vayom erida mashemecha. Ted, what's your name? Vayom er Yaakov. My name is Yaakov. Okay. Vayom er lo Yaakov yamer od shemcha. Your name is not Yaakov anymore. Ki im Yisrael. Ki sarita im Elohim ve'anashim v'tucha. Beautiful. So it gives him a tremendous beracha. What's the beracha? I change his name. Your new name is Kisarita. You overcame Lavan. You overcame an angel. So you're incredible. So he made what's called Shinui Hashem on Yaakov. It sounds like it's a better name. Yaakov doesn't have the name of God in it. Yisrael has Kel, has the name of Hashem in it. So that was the barakah I gave him. He said, listen, your grandfather, they changed his name from Abraham to Abraham. So we're going to make you a Shinui Hashem also. As a result of this great victory, we're going to give you a new name. It's going to call you Yisrael. Very nice. But you have to remember, this is a Satan, Abotai. Nothing the Satan does is good. This is the Samech Mem.
Even did they accept the name?
Oh, hey, slow down. Finish the text. The question is, you can never trust the Satan. Even his berachot have to have some angle. He's not giving berachot for nothing. Why? Because Yaakov said, "Give me a berachah." He's going to give him berachah, like Bil'am. Even the berachot of Bil'am, they had sinister intentions, the Hakamim say. So he tells them a beautiful beracha. We don't see any beautiful. Your new name is going to be Ishtabach Shem Olad. What happens? If you go later on, Yaakov Avinu fights against Esav now. After he finishes fighting Esav, so finally he leaves. He makes it out alive, and then they have the story of Binah, and then finally he's going to make his way home. Vayomer Elohim el Yaakov, kum ale bet el, go to bet el, v'shev sham, and go to that place over there. And then after he goes to that place over there, he brings some korbanot, and he blesses him. Vayar Elohim et Yaakov ot. God tells him, Shemcha Yaakov, lo yikare Shemcha od Yaakov, ki im Yisrael Yashemecha. Your name is going to be Israel. What are you talking about? We did this already. As if Borei Olam is not aware of the Malach changing the name. So for some reason Borei Olam has to repeat something that Yaakov should say, Borei Olam, hold on. I need a different barakah. That barakah I have already. Give me some I don't have. Understand? If somebody comes to the rabbi and he says, Hakam, I need a barakah. So he tells him, Be'ezet Hashem, you should find a bride. You should get married. The rabbi, the guy says, I'm married already. Be'ezet Hashem, you should get married. Okay, the guy walks out, I don't know what the guy did to me. I asked him for beracha. He knows I'm married already. He gives me beracha to be married. So what kind of beracha is this over here? What do I need a second? So here, the angel gives him the beracha. And all of a sudden, Borei Olam says, oh, let me bless you. What's the beracha? You know what the depth is of the Bosai? The depth is like this. The Satan is the Satan, as I told you. He's not interested in blessing Yaakov. He was telling him like this. The name Yaakov represents what? Akev. What is Akev?
Heel.
The heel. That represents when the Jewish people are on a low level. When they're like in the Akev, in the low depths, the low places. That's when we're making Averot. Yaakov represents the times that the Jewish people are sinning. Yisrael represents what? When the Jewish people are sarer, when they're on the high levels of, understand? You know what the angel was telling Yaakov? The angel was telling Yaakov, your name is not Yaakov anymore. Your name is Yisrael. You know what he was basically saying? And therefore, you don't have any more options. You're only able to remain as a Yisrael. And if you're going to fall back into the Yaakov, you're out. Because that name is out. basically what he was saying is, he was setting a standard for Am Yisrael, that if they sin, then already it's going to create a tremendous, tremendous damage for Am Yisrael, because you're not Yaakov anymore. He gave them an upgrade, but the upgrade now comes with a very, very high price. Yaakov will be able to maintain the level of Yisrael, but what about us? What about us? And Chas v'Shalom, by taking away the name Yaakov, so now we don't have an option for, and the Satan, no. He's the Yetzer Hara. He says, now I keep him on Yisrael level, now I start creating new Yetzer Haras, internet, and all this other stuff over here, and I'll turn them back into Yaakov, I'll turn them, worse than Yaakov, I'll turn them into Jack, I'll turn them into Jake, I'll turn them into, you know, to all these things over there, I'll lower them into the lowest level, before you know it, finish. So this was a kilala over here. You see, look at the angel's language. Vayomer lo Yaakov ye'amer od shemcha. Lo Yaakov. Not Yaakov. Listen to what Borei Olam says. Vayomer lo Elohim shemcha Yaakov. There's an atnach. Shemcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. Lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov ki im Yisrael yeshemecha. That's a second. That means besides Yaakov, you have the name Yisrael. But shimcha Yaakov, you always have. Which means Borei Olam was telling Yaakov, don't worry, Satan tried to dupe you. That means even when Bnei Yisrael are not going to be Bnei Yisrael, even when Bnei Yisrael are going to be Bnei Yaakov, still, Borei Olam says, I'm with you. And therefore, it's a tremendous, tremendous beracha. It's not the repeat beracha. It's actually a negation of the beracha of the Satan, which was really a kilala, and he gave it to him the proper way. And that's the biggest nechama. Nechamu, nechamu, ami. That after all we did, the Borei Olam still says, now it's still Yaakov, you're not Yisrael. It's worse than Yaakov. But what? You could say, and I still, I'm going to tolerate you. And somebody says, you know something? What a husband this is. If I, any other husband, long time ago, he would have checked out. This guy over here has a lot of patience. Kol hakavod, the guy is really a tzaddik. For 2,000 years, he's patient. How long does the husband have patience for? The husband has patience. Okay, they say, listen, 6 months will be okay. After 6 months, he goes to the doctor in the rehab. How's she doing? She relapsed. As a matter of fact, she's even worse than when she came in. Oh, how long is it going to take? A year and a half. Here we're doing this for 1,947 years, and the patient's not getting any better. The patient takes 2 steps forward, 3 steps backwards. And what does the husband keep on saying? Okay. I'm still going to wait for it to get. So that's the biggest nechama. That what? That even though when Am Yisrael loses the level of Yisrael and keeps it has the level of Yaakov. So I once said a derasha on this. Am ahad darashnu al zeh. שאף על פי שישראל חוטאים, בנים משחיתים, כמו שהגמרא אומרת. ישראל, אף על פי שעתה, ישראל. אפילו לדעת ישראל, זה יעקב, according to the interpretation. Which means, ישראל was a high level. אף על פי שחטא, even though he sinned, which means he's not... He still Yisrael, which means he still has the ability to come back to be Yisrael. He still has the ability to, God doesn't forsake him. He still has a chance to come back to becoming Yisrael. But we explain like this one. God tells Avraham Avinu, the great Avraham Avinu. What does God tell him? Jackie, Shabbat Shalom. I'm joking around with you. I'm joking around with you. Try to sneak out to the rabbi. I tell you. So now, huh? so the explanation is like this. The explanation is like this. When Avraham Avinu, God tells Avraham Avinu, Lech lecha me'arzeka, molateka. Okay, go. Mevet Avisa. Now he gets to the land. What happens? There's a famine. So what does Avraham Avinu do? Avraham Avinu goes to Mitzrayim. Yes? So there's no food. What does the Rabban say on that?
Oh, Hit Gadol Hata
Avinu. Right, Rida. He says, Hit Gadol Hata Avraham Avinu. Hashem tells him to go to Canaan. Who told him to go to Egypt? Understand? You shouldn't have went to Egypt. I food? Hashem will give you food. Eliyahu Navi, God brought him ravens. If Eliyahu Navi can get ravens, Avraham Yaminu can get dove. Eliyahu Navi can get, Avraham Yaminu can get whatever he wants. How much does he eat anyway? He needs a pasta. What does he need? I mean, for this, he panicked. Rabban says, Hayat Kedol. By the way, Hayat sounds like it's, it's tirah, het gadol. Het is like unintentional. Het gadol. And it's a pesha. It's like a contradiction in the terminology. Het means it was unknowingly. Het gadol. Anyway, explanation we said once like this. Okay, now Avraham Avinu goes. And what does God say? Lech lecha, ma'atzecha, ba'barichecha. And now what did Avraham Avinu do? Hatah het gadol. Says the Mefarshim, Avraham Avinu on purpose. He knew that if he's going to make everything perfect, then the berachot of Am Yisrael, you have to be perfect to get the berachot. Ma'aseh avot siman lebanim. Im Avraham yaaseh hakol beyosher, אז הברכות רק יהיו על בני ישראל כשעושים ביושר. אז לכן הלך למצרים, אז רבן אומר, חטא גדול חטא, אבל זה לשם שמיים, שהברכות יהיו חלים, אף על פי שעשה ישראל. וזה נפעל. It worked. מעשה אבות סימן לבנים. זאת אומרת, this was God, I'm giving you the ברכות. דווקא שם היה צריך לעשות מצב של חטא, שבגלל שאם לא יעשה מצב של חטא, לא ייתכן שיקבלו את הברכות. אז אם זה שם שמיים, everything, אברהם אבינו was בחושבן. He said he had to go, otherwise, why didn't God tell, hey, you went to Egypt? Finish, you broke the contract. You broke the contract, no ברכות, חס, I finish, that's it, next. I'll find somebody else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to give him. And the contrary, when he went into Mitzrayim, what happened? Miracles. Miracles. Chotei Niskaf. He makes Avon. And what did Hashem do in Egypt then? All the miracles took place over here. Not only that, the same Ramban says that Ma'aseh Avot Siman Rabbanim, he had to go down to Egypt. Why? Because the Jewish people are going to go down to Egypt. And Sarah had to be taken. And Sarah was saved. From there we learn, Bechol Abat, Tehayun. And what did it say when the Jewish people, when Abraham left Egypt, what did Paro give him? Matanot. Everything in that story of Abraham going to Egypt happened. And then he tells me in the same breath, you tell me over here, he had to go to Egypt because Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. And how do you both? Understand? Ela the Het Gadol Hata must be that was part of the Hezbon. That if the Berachot have to be given to Am Yisrael, Avraham knew that the people are not going to always be able to remain on this high madriga. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, he comes along and says, this is the way we explain. There's many explanations. This is the way we explain. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah. So what happened? The angels protest. The angels come along and say, Mali Ludi Shavdini. What is this guy doing over here? What is this earth doing? what is this this human from a different planet? What is he doing over here in the God says the Kabir Torah Ba? They came to get the Torah. He came to get the Torah. So he says, this is a Torah, Handag and Uzzah. This is a treasure. God wrote the Torah 974 generations before the world was even created. That's Ka'ab Dorot. How much was a generation? We have no idea. Today's generation is 20 years. In the old days, generation was maybe 100 years. But before there's even time, who knows even how long? How do you even measure a generation? There's no time. But it took 974 generations before the world was... and then what? When Adam and Yisrael was created, in which generation did he give the Torah? 26 generations after the world was created. Adam to Noah was 10 generations. Noah to Adam, Noah to Abraham was 10 generations. And Abraham to Moshe was 6. So the Torah was given how many generations after it was written? 1,000. 976 plus, 974 plus, Davar Siva, the head of Dor. That's what it means. Davar Siva, the head of Dor. That Hashem gave the Torah after the 1,000th generation. Okay, fine. So God gives us this Torah after 1,000. So the angels come along and say, this is a holy book over here. This is a holy book. Look at all these precepts. Look at all these laws over here. Mezvot Aseh, Mezvot Aseh. And you're going to give this over here, Lilud Isha. What do you mean, Lilud Isha? I'm not sure, Lilud Isha. You say, Adam, Ma Lilud Isha. What is Lilud Isha? Again, Ma'ala bin Adam. When you see a person, you say, the Lilud Isha. What is Lilud Isha? You give me the whole anatomy? Is that a biology class? Not a biology class. They have to explain to me how. We know how a man comes into this world. He's created from a woman. You're going to give me that whole. Understand my question? That's the question. You know what the claim of the angels was? But I don't know. You're going to give this book to the people. They have Yetzirah. They have Yetzirah. Ech yichem ot ha-sefer azim, yesh lam Yetzirah. Yasu averot. V'araya sheyesh lam Yetzirah. Yilud Isha. Yilud Isha. What does the person go to? Isha. He has ta'ava for nashim. Yilud Isha. His father went with the Jews, had a ta'ava for her. And I know him. Yilud Isha is a way of saying he has ta'avot. Understand? It's a nice way of saying the guy has Yetzirah, he's Yilud Isha. You're going to give them this book over here, so Yilud Isha over there, it's going to be broken. You understand? So it's a good claim. But the angel was saying, if you give it to us, we're going to preserve it. We're not going to have any, you understand? So what does Borei Olam tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Borei Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll tell them teshuvah. Give them an answer. What do you give them an answer? Maybe he doesn't know the answer. Maybe he doesn't know the answer.
Give him the mic.
Hakavah Vajya, Allah comes into the shiur over here. Here's the question. I thought, Tomen, come on. Answer him. No, come on. Answer the question. Who knows the answer? So here, the Malachim are bigger than Achav Avadya. The Malachim come and say, oh, what is this happening? The Malachim says, come on. How can he tell? Put Moshe on the spot. Moshe Rabbeinu should tell God, the Chavod, you explanation is Borei Olam was telling Moshe the answer. That what? You're right, you're not perfect. And you're right, you're going to make sins. And you're right, you're going to mess up. But tell them also, there's something else I created before the world. There's something else that also was created with this Chandag and Uzzah Tat Ka'ab. What else was created before the world?
Teshuvah.
Beterem harim yuladu, v'techolel eretz v'tebel. Before the mountains were created, before the earth was established, v'tomer shuvu bnei adam. V'tomer. Teshuvah was created already before the world. So God says, why did I create these two items before the world? To teach you that this book over here, even if you make a mistake, you can fix it. I had to create both these concepts in the same world, because I needed to explain that this is talui in this. Because God says, I know the human beings. I know the Yilud Isha. You don't think I know the Yilud Isha? I created them. But this book over here is its brother, its sister, its Teshuvah. So therefore, God told Moshe Rabbeinu, Ha'azir Lahem Teshuvah. That's the answer. Tell them you can make Teshuvah. So Bari Olam, it's like me telling Tomer, Tagid Lahab Avadiyah, says it's Mutar. Tagid Lahab Mutar. Arab Mutar. Oh, meaning I gave him the answer. So Bari Olam gave Moshe the answer. Ha'azir Lahem, tell them what? Kama. Ha'azir Lahem, Kama. Teshuvah. So therefore, that was the whole argument. The angel said, no, you have to be Israel. And we come back and say, no, you're able to be even Yaakov. And that's why the Pasuk says, Torah Tivalanu Moshe, Morasha Kilat Yaakov. Not Morasha Kilat Israel. Morasha Kilat Yaakov. That even the Torah Tivalanu Moshe, even if it's Kilat Yaakov, even... And that's why, what does Bil'am say? Bil'am Rasha. Atobu Alecha Yaakov Eshkenotecha Yisrael. He comes along and says that Matobu Alecha Yaakov. He said, yeah, when the Yaakov, it's only Ohel. But Eshkenotecha, if you want really the Mishkan, it has to be said. So he's putting a pressure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, doesn't matter. Even if Bnei Yisrael fall from the level. And that's why Kafa'ale Margigigit. At that point of Kafa'ale Margigigit was God's way of saying, I'm stuck with you. At that point over there was a great consolation to Am Yisrael. But they knew that even though we're not going to be able to maintain it always because the Yitzhak comes, but we'll be able to at least come back. We'll be able to come back through Teshuvah. And God's always waiting. And even if you're going to make Teshuvah, somebody asks, how many times did you make the shuvah? Okay, the drug addict says, I'm not taking any more drugs. I'm finished. 2 weeks later, Kalechasamim. So now, the same Averot, the Chadad Yaviti Bashati. After a while, the human being says, how many times? I told you the Mashal, when the guy's sitting in shul, and the guy next to him has to go to the bathroom. So he walks out, he steps on his toes when he walks out. He says, oh, excuse me, he stepped on my toe, hilam, okay, good. Now he comes back, boom, he steps on his toe again, hey, this is the second time of it, pa'amal ki toe. So he says, hilam, I didn't step on it. Okay, no problem, please, be young, it's the second time. Now the guy there, khabot yishi, he gets up, boom, he steps on his feet again. Every time he comes in, how many times will a guy let somebody else step on his feet and then tell him, don't worry, Adadi, okay, I forgive you. After 2-3 times, he kills him. Yeah, but I said, Hatati. What Hatati? How many times are you going to do the same Abon and then say, Hatati? Here, Borei Olam, his acceptance of Teshuvah, it doesn't say Teshuvah 3 times. After 3 times, that's it. If Teshuvah is unlimited, why? Because God is unlimited. And all his midot are unlimited. See, our patience has a gevul. But the patience of God, when it says Erech Apayim of God, Erech Apayim means unlimited. Even if you made Teshuvah 100 times, what the Olam says, no problem, my patience is unlimited. So it's never... So therefore, it's a great lesson for us. That even though we receive the Torah under such a circumstance, and even though we're delinquent, and even though we keep on, like a seesaw, we keep on going back and forth, Borei Olam says, don't worry, I'm here. However, one has to make teshuvah. One cannot just come along and say, I'm here. One has to, God says, it's the root. I'll say that teshuvah. Without teshuvah, then Borei Olam says, it's a problem. But with teshuvah, Borei Olam says, I'll take you back. Tell us, what does the word teshuvah mean? Come to back. Return. Who are you coming back to? You're coming back to your husband. You're returning to your husband. Understand? Borei Olam says, okay, even though we're separate now, but I'll allow you to always come back to me. I'll always, there's no sin will ever be able to push Bnei Yisrael over the edge, like the Mashal we gave. Is this clear? Okay, what's up? Okay.